Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jetta Cameron, John Rich, it is 94 WIP. Of course, 10 to 2 every day here, and the football season's already gotten off to a, I don't know. You just can never really predict exactly where it's headed. And so, for instance, we already have a Twitter poll question of the day after week two, brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park. Food Truck Face-Off is back at the Casino at Delaware Park on Sunday, September the 29th. Sample over 10 of the region's best food trucks. Seltzer's going to be there. I will as well. You can be too. Details online at DelawarePark.com. So we already have a question like this after two games. What is the biggest reason for the Eagles' struggles? A, injuries. B, they're not really quite as good as we thought they were. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's go out on the Swartz Culleton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. He does a tremendous job covering not only the Eagles, but the entire NFL. You can follow his work at Sheil Kapadia on Twitter. Mr. Sheil Kapadia. What's happening, Sheil?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Interesting out of the gate, Sheil. Real quick, this thing got real interesting real fast.
It did, yeah, absolutely. It was a fascinating game. I thought the fourth quarter, you know, they showed a lot of resilience. That was kind of Carson Wentz at his peak in the fourth quarter. But when you get off to slow starts, this was the worst first quarter offense in the NFL last year. And now through two games on three drives, they have three first downs and 0 points in the first quarter. So that continues to be a theme for them.
Hey, Doug, in his press conference this morning, stated that we're right there when it comes to early offense in games. He went to try to prove that the offense is good enough early. I mean, can you explain to us, sort of sort out the offensive ineptitude this season? Like, where does blame lie?
Overall, I thought on Sunday, obviously you guys know about the injuries that happened 90 minutes before the game. I thought the biggest issue in Sunday night's game offensively was a surprising issue to me, and that was pass protection. Carson Wentz was hit and pressured throughout that game. The film is littered with examples of guys wide open on potential explosive plays and touchdown. The example I'll give you is, you remember that 4th and 14 on the last drive, right? Carson Wentz hit Nelson Agholor for 43 yards. And, you know, everyone, you watch it live and you say, wow, what a great play. You watch the film, that's a touchdown. That should be a touchdown. Carson Wentz can't step into his throw because Jason Peters and Isaac Seumalo give up pressure. The safety bid on an underneath route. Nelson Agholor got behind him. He has to wait for the ball that's hanging up in the air. He catches it. Good job. Unbelievable throw by Wentz given the circumstances, but they make the tackle, and it ends up being a 43-yarder. If Wentz is able to step into that throw, if there's good pass protection, that is 100%. I won't say 100%. Wow. 99% a touchdown, and we're having a totally different conversation this week. So I do understand what Doug Peterson's saying when he says that they're right there and they are close.
It's a touchdown if he catches the ball. Hey, so what else? Is that why Carson wasn't stepping into throws during the game? Like the interception, the seeded interception, I couldn't figure out for the life of me why he was as like out of sorts when he threw it as he was, because there wasn't immediate pressure there. Was he feeling pressure when it wasn't there because he was so under duress for most of the game?
That was definitely a strange play. They had Zach Ertz on a double move down the right sideline. And you're right, Wentz had to shuffle a little bit to his left, but it wasn't like he was getting crushed as he threw the ball. You know, when I watched that live, I thought, oh man, his ribs are messed up right now because, he just got nothing on that throw. It was nowhere near Zach Ertz and ends up being an interception. So I was pretty concerned about Wentz at that moment in time, but then he comes back in the fourth quarter and he plays unbelievable. So overall, there were, I think, a couple examples. You know, there was one in the red zone where I thought he felt a little bit pressure that wasn't there, and Zach Ertz was actually wide open on a corner route to the right side. Wentz instead scrambled and found Mac Hollins, but that could have been a touchdown. But overall, I thought he hung in there. He took some big hits, and he delivered the football. You know, I thought Isaac Seumalo had one of his worst games in a while. Grady Jarrett really gave him trouble, and really other Falcons defensive players all game long. So he was kind of the consistent guy who was having a lot of issues. And then it was a play here, a play there from the other offensive line.
Sheil Kapadia with us, of course, every Wednesday at this time. Film breakdown galore. Sheil, there's a good chance Mac Hollins and Arcega Whiteside get a lot of snaps in 4 days versus Detroit. What did the tape tell you about where they are and their preparedness and their readiness to be effective?
You know, Hollins, I thought, was serviceable. I didn't think he did anything great when the plays were there to be made. He played them, but he certainly wasn't outstanding. And I think Arcega Whiteside, you just saw that he wasn't on the same page with Carson Wentz. So, you know, there was the one play on the left side where Wentz is thinking this is a back shoulder all the way. Arcega Whiteside continues to run his route. It nearly turned into a disastrous interception. I mean, they had a close-up on Wentz's face. After that play, and he was not happy there. So I think that the week of practice together certainly will help them. I still like Arcega Whiteside quite a bit and think he can be a good player. But, you know, ideally these guys, even Nelson Aguilar, you know, he put up big numbers. Ideally he's, what, like your third option, and now all of a sudden he might have to be your first or second option. So, you know, I think certainly guys are going to have to step up, and they're going to have to sustain drives. That explosive element of the offense that Deshaun Jackson brings you, that's not going to be as available to them. They can scheme up some big plays, but I think, you know, for the most part, you're going to have to put together a lot of long drives, convert on third down, convert in the red zone, all those things.
What's your take on how Nelson Aguilar played?
I thought that was the full Nelson Aguilar experience. That's how I would describe it, you know. Look at this. Since the guy was drafted, there are plays there where you say, he's talented. Wow, great job. He's the only guy getting open. He catches a clutch touchdown on fourth down. He catches the ball on fourth and 14. And then you have other plays. We're wide open. I mean, a great release at the line of scrimmage. You know, he's wide open in that hole in cover two. And Carson Wentz delivers one of his most accurate passes of the day. I mean, he could have run out there and handed Aguilar the ball. Yeah. It was that good. And he doesn't come down with the catch. So, you know, I think that's what we've seen. The guy was unbelievable in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. And then the following year, you wonder, you know, is he as good as we thought he was? So I think that's kind of who he is at this point in his career.
Are his hands fixable? Like, to me, I don't – it's, and not on the final drop that would have been a touchdown. I said – for some reason, he doesn't get his hands up to where the ball is in time on so many plays. Not on that play, because he got his hands on it, but there were other drops that he had in this one where it's like he doesn't see it until the last second or something. Like, I don't even know what to compare this to. It's not like, it's just like he doesn't know how to catch properly, or like, and then other times he'll snag the ball out of the air beautifully. Like, what? How do you explain that level of inconsistency?
You know what it is? It's there's so many plays where you watch the replay and you say, you know, you're trying to assign blame and you say, he could have had that one. It wasn't the easiest catch, but he could have had that one. And there are like so many of those plays with Aguilar. There was the one in the end zone. I mean, he gets nailed in the back. I'm not saying it's an easy catch. It's not an easy catch, but there are players who make that catch.
Yeah,
there's one, you know, it was on the left side near the sideline. Wentz fires a bullet, and you say, all right, it's not an easy catch. I can't make that catch, but, you know, maybe he should make that catch. And so I think it's just kind of, there are going to be ups and downs with him. That's just sort of the player he is at this point.
Sheil, defensive side of the ball. Should Ronald Darby be benched soon if he continues to play like that?
He was the worst of the cornerbacks, but I will say no, and I will say the guy who should be benched is Andrew Sendejo. I don't know why this guy is playing in their dime package. If you look at the 34-yard touchdown that Ronald Darby will get dinged for, they are in, you know, it's called quarter-quarter half coverage, where basically Sendejo and Darby are the deep defenders on that side of the field. Sendejo, for some reason, jumps up, does not maintain his depth. He's supposed to be right where that route went, that post route inside of Darby. He's not there. He starts sprinting back. He's not in time. And, you know, I'll give Darby credit for one thing. I watch a lot of these games, and cornerbacks in those situations will put their hands up right away. Yeah. Or they'll start yelling at the safety so that everyone knows it's not their fault. Darby doesn't do that. I mean, he looked right down. He ran to the sideline. And really, that touchdown – was not his fault. Now, there were other plays that he gave up. His worst rep, I thought, was the one that didn't end up being a touchdown. That was when Matt Ryan overthrew, I think it was Justin Hardy. I think it was a zero blitz, and Darby just got toasted on that play, but Ryan overthrew him there, and it was incomplete. So I have not been Darby's biggest fan. You know, I thought Sidney Jones actually had a really good game. I thought Rasul Douglas bounced back pretty well.
But I like Rasul.
Yeah, I think when they're in those obvious passing situations, you know, certainly third and long, Sendejo, I would get him off the field. I would play four cornerbacks, you know, with Maddox, Douglas, Jones, and Darby, along with Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. I think Sendejo, now through two games, he's been responsible for two explosive touchdowns.
So what about Jonathan Cyprien? I mean, he's on the team. He can't be worse than Sendejo, because I agree with you. People are going to look at Sendejo getting a sack and say, oh, we love this guy. No, in coverage, he is such a liability. But then Cyprien, is he, I mean, I know he's a bigger safety, like more like a linebacker. Could he be worse than Sendejo?
Yeah, I think that's the issue, is kind of what you said, is he's sort of a similar player, where if you want, you know, if you want to get him out there kind of against the run, or, you know, maybe even matching up against tight ends, maybe he has a chance, but to play kind of the deep part of the field, I think you're probably going to see very similar results with Cyprien and Sendejo. You know, I look at Maddox, and I thought he played well at safety last year, and I thought he played well at nickel in this game Sunday night. So, you know, I just feel like with the way those corners, I feel like you have a little bit more talent there. You know, you're going to have to cover. This isn't a, you know, that sack you mentioned, yeah, that was totally schemed up. Sendejo was just, you know, running free. He gets credit for finishing, right, but he didn't do anything outstanding on that. But I will say this. I thought Rodney McLeod played like one of his best games as an Eagle. I couldn't believe it when I was watching the film. I mean, he made a big third down pass breakup. He prevented a touchdown with a great play when he was playing the deep middle of the field. And then he was firing downhill, making a lot of tackles. So I thought that was very encouraging for McLeod, coming off that injury from last season, to play the way he did on Sunday.
That's great. For Ronald Darby, just one last thing. Does it look like he is a step slower to you coming back from the ACL? Like his recovery speed isn't where it needs to be, and that's part of the problem right now?
I mean, I'm sure that's it. But, you know, to be honest with you, the guy was giving up plays last year when he was healthy and the year before. I mean, he's a good cover guy, but anytime there's like a contested catch, he seems to lose those. And what teams do, and you saw the Falcons do this, is when Darby is playing off coverage, Matt Ryan was just aborting the run play and saying, I'm going to throw that smoke screen out there and I'm going to pick up an easy 7 yards. And Darby is not a good tackler. We've seen that over and over again. So I think we're going to see teams continue to attack him in that way as well.
All right, Shiel, final thing. In light of injuries and some ineffective play, should Eagles fans be concerned about the Lions game coming up on Sunday?
I don't think so. I think they're a better team than the Lions. I actually don't think it's anywhere near time to panic for the Eagles, kind of given the circumstances there. You look around the league, teams are trying to work through stuff in the first three or 4 weeks of the season. And I think the most important thing that happened is that Wentz bounced back and did not look injured at the end of that game and was making some spectacular plays there down the stretch. So I think if he's healthy, you know, and I have trust in Jeff Saturn and the offensive line, if you have those two things, you should be able to move the football. I mean, last week, the Lions in that game, the Chargers had two touchdowns called back for penalties. They fumbled at the one-yard line, and they missed two field goals, and the Lions still barely escaped. I don't think that's a very good football team. If the Eagles lose this game Sunday at home, then
it's time
next
to
week, I'll be telling you different stories.
Well, then they're going 1-3, so that's not good. All right, Shiel, great stuff. Again, follow Shiel's work at Shiel Kapati on Twitter. Thank you, Shiel.
Thanks, guys.
Shiel.
Take care.
I mean, just the football.
He knows
machine.
Everything.
I mean, just every single week.
I adore Shiel Kapadia.
It's unbelievable.
My gosh.
It's really
tremendous
insight.
So
I mean,
much.
The stuff about how the Aguilar one could have been a touchdown that was the big completion, but could have been a touchdown, say, Amalo and Peters getting. John, two
the
weeks.
The Darby thing was super fascinating.
Sendejo.
Yeah.
You know.
Rodney McLeod, one of his best games as an Eagle.
You know, there was a. We talked about it briefly on Monday. They had more linebackers. The Eagles had more linebackers on the field on Sunday. I wonder if at a certain point they started moving away from Sendejo to put in a third linebacker or a second linebacker on the field, or if that was purely a matchup thing based on the Falcons' personnel. I don't really know. But there was a lot more snaps for linebackers this past Sunday than the previous week.
A lot more snaps. Hopefully that's the last we see of that. I'm telling you, what he's saying makes a lot of sense. When you've got Avonte Maddox who can play that safety spot and actually cover from that safety spot, and then you've got three other good cornerbacks. Well, not good, but you know, passable cornerbacks. It's incredible to me that he's telling us Ronald Darby is our most targetable cornerback. The game told us that.
Right.
Now he's reinforcing that. That's what we saw. That's the resume now.
Yeah,
you know, like even though he's, quote, our best cornerback, teams don't attack your best cornerback the way that they just attacked Ronald Darby.
Yep.
We have to flip our thinking here and start looking at these other guys, Sidney Jones, Avonte Maddox, Rasul Douglas, as the guys that we can depend upon a little bit more.
It's incredible. And you know you're going to get Mills at some point and hopefully LeBlanc as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Paul, who's with us. What's up, Paul?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Real quick, I just want to give a shout-out to Shill. Shill used to do the All 22 on Birds247.com.
I remember.
He needs to bring that back. So next time you talk to that guy, tell him he needs to bring that back, man. That's
well,
classic.
He's just the greatest. He does the verbal variety of it with us on the show, and that's why we wanted to have him on the show weekly. He's tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Guys, I just got three quick points. My first point is our offense has been sucking in the first quarter. I would like to see what are the statistics with our running game. How many times are we running the ball in the first quarter? My second point is Carson has bad ribs. Both of our starting wide receivers are out. There is no way in HELL that we need to be throwing this football 40, 50 times against the lines coming up. We have three running backs that are capable.
Yep.
Let's play power football.
I hope.
And just
I agree.
Run the football.
Well,
just,
especially if Deshaun and Alshon are out. Like that,
absolutely.
It would be bizarre. It would be really bizarre.
Here's what we have to come to realize, Paul, and everyone else. Deshaun Jackson is probably not going to play more than a couple games this season. Like, that's where we sit right now. We've heard the injury we were told was a groin. Now we're told it's abdominal.
Abdominal.
So we all know what that means.
Sports hernia.
This is a sports hernia situation.
Yeah. Yes.
We are told that he's not getting surgery right now, that he's going to try to rehab it. We all know what that means, that eventually he will have to get this fixed medically, surgically. And so it's just going to be touch and go. We know that if he's not, you know, feeling great, it's not even, you know, he might not even go out there on the field. Like this,
we have
it's time to write it off. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, plan B needs to be set into motion.
Well, this would be the second straight year because this is, you know, right out of the gate is when they lost Wallace last year.
Yep.
And I was saying all year, where's Wallace? Where's Wallace,
no speed
String?
Guy. No speed guy.
Where's
but
Wallace?
Guys, my last point, real quick. My last point.
What?
I know you guys don't want to hear this, but the bad news is, you know, first round bye, we could throw that out the window. However, luckily the football gods have set it up for us. I know that first game against Dallas is towards the end of October. However, the rest of our division games are sometime in December towards the end. I think we're going to win the division. Drew Brees is hurt. There's not a place I worry about going that we cannot win, especially if we have all of our horses.
Yeah, the road does look harder, though, Paul. I'll say that. I appreciate the call. The road, two games in, it's not to say the Eagles can't do it. They can do it. But I will say, two games in, the road looks harder than I would have thought. Dallas looks really good. Eagles are going to lose some games because they're going to have some injured players and some guys we thought were to be counted on just don't look solid yet. Now, maybe they play their way into it. I got more hope, I guess, in Miles Sanders playing his way into it than, say, Amalo. But, like, you know, and then you got the Darby factor. It's just a little shaky right now. John, if Deshaun's out for a long time, the guy just retired a couple days ago, do you consider calling up Torrey Smith and saying, Torrey, let's work you out?
I have no idea. I mean, he retired because he wasn't playing. Teams didn't deem him capable of playing.
I know.
So probably not the best idea. When Doug was asked, hey, how do you stretch the field today? He told the guy who asked him the question, you.
Yeah, well, that's a bad. That's what I'm saying. Maybe Torrey Smith's better than whoever that reporter was. All right, Jeremiah Trotter, his perspective on everything. How concerned is he on Ronald Darby and the Eagles team? We'll talk to the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter, coming up next. Show to Cameron John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, when you're hiring, you don't want to waste time. You want an efficient way to get to your short list of qualified candidates, and you want to do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. That's right, Indeed.com, used by over 3 million businesses. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try for free at Indeed.com/radio. That's Indeed.com/radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.